And just want to also acknowledge and thank the Goldbergs, Raquel and Jason Goldberg, for sponsoring Lilui Nishmat, their daughter, Tamima Leah Shalom. All right, so let's assume that we're right now, the Seder is just, let's say it's just about to start. You're waiting for everyone to come home from shul, or you just made kiddush and you're waiting. Everyone's going lining up in the kitchen to do urchatz, or maybe only one person doing urchatz, and everyone's just sitting around the table. But like that's sort of where in this stage of the Seder we're at. We're at the very, very beginning of the Seder, and so here's something to think about, discuss as you're getting ready, and the kadesh urchatz haven't yet done the karpas stage of the Seder. So that's where we're holding right now. We start with source number one. I know we're not really close to Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah right now, but still the idea, a question is, if we want to be a better person, right? Let's say I'm someone who's a thief. I'm always stealing from people and I want to stop stealing from people. So what is the way that I do tshuva? How do I become a better person? So I have to, number one, stop stealing. And also, I have to return all the stuff that I've stolen. Right. So the Gemara Masechet Tani, source number 1, 16a, says, Amar Rav Ad Bar Ahava, Adam Shiesh Biado Aveira, a person who has a transgression in his hand, and he confesses but does not repent for this sin, to what is he comparable? Meaning, okay, I did the wrong thing, and I've committed, I'm never going to steal again, but I still have all the stolen stuff. So to what is this person comparable? To a person who holds in his hand a dead creeping animal, a sheretz, which renders one ritually impure by contact, right? So you're holding on to a sheretz, you become tameh, you become impure. And even if he immerses in all the waters of the world, his immersion is ineffective for him, as long as the source of ritual impurity remains in his hand, right? If I want to be a good person now, I don't want to do any bad things anymore. So if I stop doing the bad things, that's wonderful, that's great, but I haven't accomplished anything until I have returned the stuff that I've stolen, he says. So that's like tovel v'sheretz b'yado. It's like I'm immersing in a mikvah, and yet I'm still holding on to the bad stuff. I'm still holding on to the sheretz. I can't become pure if I'm still holding on to the impure. I can't become a more upstanding person if I'm still holding on to the stuff that I stole. But the Gemara concludes, kevan zerako miyado kevan sheteval barbim seya miyad al talo tvila. But once this person has thrown the sheretz, thrown this impure thing from his hand, his or her hand, and immerses in the mikvah, boom, now they're tahor. The idea, and this comes up also in source number 2 from the Tanakh itself, in Sefer Tehillim, says, like the order of operations ought to be, sur meira ve'aseh tov. I stop doing the bad, i.e., I return the stolen stuff, and then I can do vidoy and I can be totally in the clear. That's the order that you would typically expect. I stop doing the bad, and then I have to do the good. Sumara v'aseh tov, that's in Tehillim, from source number 2, and also this Gemara in Masechet Tanit in source number 1. What's interesting is that when we look at the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, look at the experience of Bnei Yisrael in Egypt, we don't really get a picture quite like that. For instance, in source number 3, the Midrash, Michilta d'Rabbi Yishmael, tells the following sort of very depressing story. Haya Rabbi Matia ben Charash Omer, Harei Omer. So Rabbi Matia ben Charash says, is written in the book of Sefer Yechezkel, and I passed before you, and I saw you, and behold, your time was the time for love. There had arrived the time for the fulfillment of the oath that the Holy One, blessed be He, had sworn to our father Abraham to redeem His children. Hashem says, the time has come, I'm going to redeem Bnei Israel. And yet, He looks at Bnei Israel, and they've got literally no redeeming qualities whatsoever. They had no mitzvot to engage in, which would enable their redemption. Hashem says, I want to redeem them, but they're terrible. They're awful. They have nothing valuable in them. All right, we will say later in the Haggadah, you know, Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they were idolaters. They were terrible. So what does Hashem do? The Holy One, blessed be He, gave them two mitzvot, the blood of the Paschal Lamb and the blood of circumcision to engage in for their redemption. So Hashem says, okay, you've got no redeeming qualities, but I've got to redeem you, so here are two mitzvot. Just do these mitzvot. Okay, you're terrible, awful people, but just do these mitzvot, and you'll be, and then I can redeem you. Seemingly saying that they haven't stopped any of the bad things that they've been doing. They've just happened to be doing two additional mitzvot, two mitzvot at all, Brit Milah and the Korban Pesach. The Emet LeYaakov, or Yaakov Kamenetsky, a former, at one point in his life, Torontonian, I think even down south, right? So he has the following in Emet LeYaakov, and his comment is, Drashot, on the Parsha. So he points out the following, he quotes the following Ma'amar Chazal, this idea of the sages, that according to the sages, right, the Torah tells us there was the plague of darkness. Right? And the sages say, the Chazal say, that during the plague of darkness, there were also Israelites who died. There were Jews who died during the plague of darkness. Why? Because they were terrible, wicked people. And Amit Liakov says, that's nice, I guess, that these wicked Rasha'im that were Jewish died during the plague of darkness. He says, but the Jewish people were generally not so good. He refers to, if you flip to the top of the second page, he refers to this idea that's in several places in the in rabbinic literature. One of them is the Zohar, which I give you in source number 5, that when Bnei Israel were walking through the Red Sea, right? The sea is split, the Israelites, Bnei Israel, are walking through on the dry land, and the Egyptians are chasing after them. Hashem's plan, once Bnei Israel cross through, all the water is going to come crashing down and kill all the Egyptians who are there, right? And the Zohar, and the Emet Liakov says this also in source number 4, he says that at that time, when both the Jews and the Egyptians were in the middle of the sea, and Hashem is planning on destroying all the Egyptians, the angels, in the Zohar, it's this Rahab, the ministering angel of Egypt, the way the Emet Liakov in source number 4 had described it, it was just the angels, said, God, what are you doing? I can't tell the difference between the two. These ones are idolaters and these ones are idolaters. These ones are murderers and these ones are murderers. These ones commit sins of illicit relationships and these ones commit sins of illicit relationships. In other words, the angels were saying, God, what do you see in the Jewish people that you say, oh, these I'm going to save and these I'm going to kill? The Jews, Bnei Israel, are just as wicked as the Egyptians. I don't see any difference between the two. That's what the angels were saying. That's what in source number 4 and source number 5. The angels were saying, there is nothing of value to these people. Why are you choosing to save Bnei Israel and you're destroying the Egyptians? They're all equally really not good people. And so this all of this begs the question. We started with source number 1 with this idea that how does a person become pure? They have to throw away the sherets. They have to throw away the impure thing. And only then they start doing the good things, and then they can become pure. But if a person can do all the wonderful mitzvot, but if they're still holding on to the sherets, they haven't really accomplished anything. They're still tameh if they're still holding on to the sherets. But all of this seems to say, Bnei Israel, by and large, weren't really that great at the time of Yetziyat Mitzrayim. Okay, they had a couple mitzvot, Brit Milah and the Korban Pesach, but aside from that, they were like among the worst people. We think about how terrible the Egyptians were, but Bnei Israel were just as bad. So how do we understand this? So I saw in Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky has a Haggadah called From Bondage to Freedom. It's a picture of it right there. You can order it on Amazon and still get it on time for the Seder. He has a piece where he tries to basically answer this question. And he points out the seemingly mundane order of the Seder, right? Like the table of contents that we read in the beginning, Kadesh Ur Chatz. And he writes, and this is source number 6, Kadesh Ur Chatz, in addition to dictating the order of the Seder, these words indicate an order that is unique to the Exodus. The word Kadesh means to sanctify and can be read as an imperative, sanctify yourself. Ur Chatz can also mean cleanse yourself. Usually, cleansing oneself must precede sanctification, like we've seen from the Gemara, like we've seen from before. Normally, you would expect the urchatz, the cleanse yourself, drop the sherets, to come before kadesh, sanctify yourself. And yet, he says, and this is the italics were his in the original, the Exodus thus had the unique feature of enabling a person to be elevated to the ultimate heights of spirituality, even prior to divesting himself of objectionable behavior. He says, uniquely, Yetziyat Mitzrayim is actually one where it's okay if we weren't totally, completely perfect. We do the best that we do the best that we can, and even with that, we can start with Kadesh. To skip really to the last source, what Rabbi Tversky ultimately says is that yes, in a level, ideally, we want to be the person. We don't want to be the person that's tovel v'sheretz biyado, the person who is immersing in the mikvah but is still holding on to the tameh thing. We would ideally always throw away the sheretz and then be able to sanctify ourselves, then be able to go to the mikvah. But he says sometimes that's not the way life is. And there's a Gemara in the source number 7 Reish Lakish says, one who comes to purify. Where is it? Balatahar Misayinoto. A person who wants to come to purify, we help him along. Even if the person hasn't totally thrown the sherets out, we help them along. And I think the whole picture of this is that special to something to think about on Leil HaSeder, at the Haggadah night, when we're thinking about Yitziat Mitzrayim, it's not only a historical event, but also a personal event of us becoming better people, and us, as Rabbi Twersky says in the title of his thing, in the title of his Haggadah, liberation of the spirit. That normally we would think, first comes Urchatz, then Kadesh, but uniquely, maybe something special about Yetziat Mitzrayim, something special about Seder night, we have the opportunity to switch the order. First, we do Kadesh, we sanctify ourselves, and then we can come to the Urchatz. And ultimately, we can still do the Kadesh first. Thank you very much.